Okay, so welcome everybody.
Hello.
Nice to see you all here. Welcome to the winter solstice meditation. So this is a free class. There's no charge involved. But if you do want to make a donation to the River Kids Project, the bowl is out there. Okay, the River Kids Project we have been supporting for a little while now. It's basically a project based in Vietnam where they help children who would otherwise possibly be sold by their parents in order to keep the household together, and often end up in things like prostitution and so forth. It supports their education and they're hopefully getting out of the cycle that so many of them are trapped in there. So if you want to make a donation, great. But as I said, there's no formal charge for this class. I want to talk a little bit before we do the meditation, just to establish something of a context for the class and for the, you know, think a little bit about the meaning of the winter solstice. So, the celebration of the winter solstice has been an aspect of all of the kind of nature spiritualities or goddess, so-called goddess-based spiritualities throughout the world, for all such, paths. It's been a very important time of year, along with the summer solstice and the two equinoxes, the two points in between. Okay. So it's universally so. So this tells us that it's actually, because everybody worldwide, before anybody had a telephone or anything, they were all doing the same thing. They were all recognizing it. This is an important time of year, and we were all celebrating it. It doesn't matter which culture, which country, or so forth. So why, what's so important about these, four times of year? Okay. So nature spirituality essentially is about the observation of cycles and patterns within nature and recognizing these kind of universal patterns from which we can glean meaning about our life. Okay, so you can draw many different parallels with different cycles within nature. Okay, so this kind of fourfold cycle of that we're going to be looking at tonight is kind of mirrored on a few different levels. Okay, so firstly, the solstices and the equinoxes mark the four basic seasons: winter solstice to spring equinox, spring equinox to summer solstice, summer. Then you're moving around towards the autumn equinoxes, autumn equinox to winter solstice, winter. So you've got four seasons. Okay, so four basic seasons that run in an annual cycle. Okay, so we also, you can look at a human life and you can see a parallel within that. So there's four seasons of our life, or four stages of our life. We go through the childhood stage, the youthful stage, the middle age, and the old age. In the same way, you have four seasons. You have four seasons in an annual cycle. You have the kind of four seasons of life that we all are going through. Okay, we also have the kind of fourfold lunar cycle every month. So from full moon, you have waxing moon, which meets a midpoint halfway through, then a fully waxing moon, then you have a new moon moving up to that midpoint, then up. So you have a monthly lunar cycle. You also have a daily cycle of day and night, don't you? Okay. And you also have a breathing cycle. So the in-breath, the out-breath, the two midpoints in between. So you've got these four basic cycles that we're all kind of moving through on different levels. And they're all basically cycles of waxing and waning, aren't they? So from the winter solstice, that actually the life force within the earth has been declining, the amount of light in the day has been declining up to the winter solstice. And from here, in the northern hemisphere at least, it then begins to start to increase. So you have the point of maximum darkness is actually the point of the rebirth of the physical light on the planet. So you have this, so from the winter solstice, light and life force in the earth starts to increase, and it builds through the spring, builds through the summer, and you reach midsummer. And the midsummer, the point of maximum light, maximum life, is actually also the point at which everything changes. You start on this kind of downward cycle, a waning of life force. You move into autumn and winter, the life force within the earth withdraws back into the earth, manifests life within nature, becomes much more subdued, and a cycle of waning energy begins. Okay, so similarly with our own life, in terms of the physical life cycle of our body, you know, if we say the average life is about 70 years, you know, 0 to 35, your powers are waxing. You hit 35, oh my God, you're waning. Okay. So we had this, you have a gradual ascent where, you know, from the time you're born, you're having a lot of input, aren't you? Your physical body is growing, you go through a cycle of strong physical growth, you also go through a cycle of emotional learning, you go through a cycle of intellectual learning, and a cycle of learning your place, you know, within the, you know, society, your particular gifts and work and positioning and so forth. From 35, you're actually starting a different cycle, rather than the focus being training for life. At that point, you've got certain life skills and you are establishing a life path, and then you're actually gradually working towards death, aren't you? The birth is the gateway into life, death is the gateway out of that particular life cycle. You know, so there's going to have a waxing and a waning in that sense. So similarly with the lunar cycle, there is a waxing and waning of the moon. From the new moon, it builds, reaches a full moon, then declines again. So, and similarly with our breathing, when you breathe in, you're building energy, energizing the body. You're breathing out, there is the emphasis on relaxing, releasing, letting go. Okay, so basic nature spirituality, it's not complex philosophy, it's just based around observation of cycles and wisdom that you can glean from the patterns that we observe. So as we move into the winter solstice, it's a time where, you know, a cycle of life has been moving essentially towards a death, towards an end. So it's a good time to just look at your life and look at what you can start to let go of. What's been, you know, something that may have been serving you for quite a long time, a particular part of your life, part of your personality, part of your work, part of your, you know, the way in which you've been living your life, may have been working for a long time, but now then there may be a point at which you reached where you realise actually this has got to go in order to prepare for a new cycle, something else to come in and take its place. You know, so it's really one really important thing to realise is that all of these cycles are creative. Okay, you can't just have cycles of construction. You know, because in order for the life cycle to renew itself, there also has to be a second aspect where the things that have been constructed are gradually deconstructed to make way for new creativity. Okay, so the waning cycle is not always the one that we like to look at the most, but it's equally as important as the cycle of construction in life. Okay, so by learning to release, to let go, to cease holding on to things that aren't really constructively serving us anymore, that very process of releasing creates a space within our mind, creates a space within our being where new things can take seed, take root and grow. So it's a really kind of important skill, kind of life skill to develop, is just simply to recognize when it is time to let something go. The tendency can be when we're in a space of uncertainty or kind of crisis or whatever, to try to hold on to the old things, when actually sometimes the best thing we can do is just to let go and to allow something new to step into that open space, that space which is quite often feels at the time to be uncertain. You know. So there is a kind of a sense when you think about this being a time of darkness. A lot of people's idea of people are, for example, within a meditation practice, lots of people, what they want in their meditation is there to be a lot of light for their meditation practice to be always giving rise to happiness and joy and peace. And what they'd rather not happen is to their meditation practice to take them into parts of their consciousness, parts of their being, where there is a certain level of darkness or a certain level of challenge. So for me, one of the things that I like to think about and engage with a lot during this kind of winter solstice time is just an appreciation of darkness. You know, all life, all vegetable life begins in darkness, isn't it? In the darkness of the soil. First 9 months of our life, as babies, we're in darkness, and we were very happy there. You know, when we go to sleep, when we're in our most deeply restful periods of our life, which is when we're asleep, they're in darkness, aren't we? So just a kind of appreciation, developing appreciation for what the kind of restful, unconscious, relaxed condition that we kind of find ourselves in when we're in the dark, that just have an appreciation of that, you know. Rather than always thinking, oh, I've got to have light, or it's got to be bright, or it's got to be attractive, or whatever. Just be prepared sometimes to enter into the darker spaces in our life. And sometimes, in terms of creative cycles, I think about this as being the spaces of uncertainty that we have in our life. So they're not dark in the sense of being physically dark, but they're dark in the sense of sometimes we find ourselves in a space of uncertainty and there is no clear direction, there is no obvious direction to take. And because of that, it's quite easy to become fearful of open space, of this kind of open, amorphous space that we find ourselves in. So this is kind of important to think about in the sense that uncertain spaces in life are also the spaces in life where there is the greatest opportunity for creativity. So if life was 100% predictable, if your life were, you knew exactly what was going to happen for the rest of the evening and tomorrow and the next day, what would it be like? Pretty boring, right? There'd be no opportunity to grow. If life was certain, if it was all genuinely predestined, then there'd be no opportunity to grow, no opportunity to express your individuality, your creativity, your authenticity. So uncertain spaces in life are always the spaces where you actually have a chance to step into your own authenticity, into your own creativity, where there is more space to start inventing something about yourself that is waiting there to be invented, something that has been waiting in you as a potential, but up to this point you haven't had the space. So it's important to recognize when space comes into your life, and rather than shying away from the uncertainty of the space, from the reacting out of fear to that space, to be able to enter into it with an open mind, with a creative heart. So anyway, I've rambled on enough about this. We need to do a bit of meditation. So the initial meditation that we'll do is a little bit on the breathing. So in terms of the breathing cycle, the winter solstice, you put the winter solstice at the bottom of the out-breath. In general, when you breathe out, you're releasing, aren't you? Relaxing, releasing, letting go. So at that precise point where you finish your out-breath, just before you start inhaling again, there's that space, isn't there? Empty space where you've just released, and you're about to start taking in again, starting a new creative cycle, a new life cycle, a new in-breath. Okay, so that space in at the bottom of the breath is the equivalent of the winter solstice in terms of our moment-to-moment breathing cycle. So we're just going to be kind of entering into that breathing space initially, and then I'll be leading a simple visualization, which will involve some contact with a kind of traditional image of the goddess, like kind of a nature goddess type image. But anyway, I'll guide that, so you don't need to worry too much. So please find a nice comfortable position in your chair or on the floor. So the main thing, whether you're sitting on the floor or on the chair, is that your hips are in a nice comfortable position, and they're arranged in such a way that the upper body is in a relatively erect, straight posture, so that the weight of the head, the neck, the shoulders, the chest can travel down the spine and down the torso into the hips, into the chair, without your muscles having to do too much work. So the lower back has to do a little bit of work to stay straight, but apart from that, your body is as relaxed as it can be. Upper body is as relaxed as it can be. Your arms and hands in a position that is comfortable to you for meditation. So it can be on your lap, or on your knees, whichever feels right. It's a matter of personal preference rather than any kind of fixed right or wrong. Back nice and straight, head and neck in line with the spine, chin just tucked in very slightly so you can feel a very slight stretch in the back of the neck. Breathing in and out through the nose. Eyes either gently closed or slightly open, as you prefer. And I'd like you just to make a decision to yourself for the next half hour or so. You're in a safe space, you can leave your mental baggage outside the meditation room door. You can pick it up again when you leave if you want. And it's time to just gently focus the mind, create time for your own inner healing, regeneration. You to take your mind away from anything that may have happened in the past and away from anything that may happen in the future. Bring your attention into the present moment, onto your physical body, and onto just the natural process of your breathing. So our breathing and our physical body are always in the present moment. So just use them as an anchor for your attention, just to start to steady your awareness in the here and now. And I'd like you just to ask your body, your physical body, the question, how would you like to breathe right now in order to bring us into a state of mental and physical balance? So rather than dictating a pattern of breathing to the body, you're asking your body's natural instinctive intelligence how it wants to breathe right now to find equilibrium. Just listen to your body and let it guide your breathing, the patterns of the breathing. It may want to breathe a little bit more short or shallow for a little while, or long and deep. You should find that your breathing is starting to settle into some form of regular rhythm now. And all I'd like you to do is just to start to build your concentration a little bit. And I want you to do that just by trying to count three breaths. Inhale and exhale, that's one breath. Just try to count a cycle of three breaths without losing your concentration on the counting. And relax for a few breaths and do it again. But just gradually start to bring the awareness, bring the mind into the present moment through focus on the breathing. A short periods of focus, three breaths, then relax for a few breaths, then focus again. And don't try too hard, really nice and relaxed. So meditative concentration is always a balance, a little bit of focus, combine it with relaxed awareness. Don't try too hard. So I'd like to just to meditate for a short while on the breathing as a cycle of life in itself. As you breathe in, it's the first part of the life cycle, energy building towards a peak as you reach the top of the in-breath. And then as you breathe out, there is a releasing, a relaxing. That cycle of breathing comes to an end at the bottom of the out-breath. So the space between the end of the out-breath and the beginning of the in-breath is that space that lies between the end of an old life cycle and the beginning of a new one. So that point of stillness, that space at the bottom of the breath, in terms of the breathing, is like the point we're at in the year, the winter solstice, the point between the end of one cycle of life and the beginning of a new one. So all I'd like you to do is just, as you breathe out, just emphasize releasing, relaxing, letting go of tension within the mind and body. And just insert a short pause at the bottom of the breath, just half a second or so, just rest in that point of stillness. And just recognize the awakening of a new life as you begin to inhale. Releasing on the out-breath, holding that point of stillness between the end of the out-breath and the beginning of the in-breath, and just seeing how life, a new life cycle, arises as you start to inhale. Just gradually feel your mind moving into a state of resting yet alert awareness as you focus on the breathing in this way. Be just starting to lead the visualization now. So just imagine it's like I'm reading you a story and just allowing your mind to build the images within your imagination as I speak. Just trust your intuition, and what you see will be right for you. So I'd like you to imagine yourself standing in a winter landscape. It's night time. The only light is coming from the stars and perhaps from the moon. The beautiful, quiet, open, deep winter landscape. You can feel the ground beneath you is frozen. You're wrapped in a nice warm cloak. And and you feel that you are facing, this is intuitively, you just feel that you're facing northeast, in a northeasterly direction, and in front of you can see a path leading across the landscape. I'd also like you to be aware that you're, in terms of the way in which you feel and experience your physical body, you are old. You're in the last quarter of your life. When you look down at your hands, you can see that they're the hands of an old person. So initially, a lot of people, you may feel a little bit of aversion to seeing or feeling yourself as an old person in an old physical body. But I'd like you to notice that even though your physical body is older, frailer, it seems like at the same time as the physical body is older, it's almost as if you can feel the light of your spiritual body within you that little bit more brightly. So your physical body is old, but you can feel the ever young spiritual body, the body of the soul within you, radiating a soft light throughout your body. It's almost as if the age and frailty of your physical body allows you to get in touch more with the kind of ageless spiritual body that you possess. So I'd like you to see yourself now starting to walk along the trackway leading northeast across the landscape in the night. And as you walk this pathway, you know that you are heading towards the end of a life cycle. Moving towards the end of the year. And ahead of you now, at the end of the trackway, you see a low hill or a low mound with a doorway that you can enter into it by. In front of that doorway there is a pool, and there is a hooded woman, an old hooded woman whose face you cannot see. As you approach the pool and the mound and the woman, you know that the woman herself is a dark goddess, or the crone, or the Kaliak. The aspect of the goddess that presides over at the end of life cycles. Presides over the ending of old cycles in order that we may be reborn anew, that new cycles of life may be reborn within us. So as you approach her, you search within your pockets, or you may already be holding it, but you have within your hands or on your person somewhere an object that is in some way a symbol of your willingness to let go, to release. So it may be the object that comes to mind or that you find in your pockets has an obvious significance. Something in your life. Whatever it is that you find, this is the thing that you have to offer to the dark goddess. You have to give up to her. You can make your approach to her now. She holds out her hands for you to place the object in. As you feel, as you see yourself placing the object in her hands, I'd like you really try to feel that kind of willingness to release, to let go. To let the things that need to die in your life, to really let them go, let them die. So that new life can take place within your heart. So having taken your gift, the goddess, the heart goddess then gestures for you to go over and look into the pool next to the hill. And as you look in the pool, by the light of the moon and the stars, you see yourself as an old, old person. You feel your old body as a body that it's time to give up. It's served you very well throughout your life. It's now time to move on, to release. So you look into the pool, you can see this old face, old hands. You can see the light of your soul within your fragile physical body. It's time to move on. Experience this old body as like a, you understand now, it's been like a cloak or a coat that you've been wearing, that your soul has been wearing throughout your life, and now you're ready to give it up. So you get up from looking into the pool now and go back to the trackway. Straight ahead of you, you see the gateway into the mound or into the hill. Pitch black. You look at the goddess, you understand it's time, you know, you have to move into or go into the hill through the gateway. So that you might find that the doorway is actually quite small. You have to really kind of bend down to get in there. And as you enter into it, you feel yourself really kind of moving into the darkness. You have to feel your way with each step along the passageway. And this continues for some time. You feel yourself moving gently down. Just it's like a gentle slope down into the earth. Eventually the passageway, you can feel it with your physical hands opening out into a kind of a chamber. And again, just feeling with your hands, you can feel like that there is a kind of a rim running around the chamber that you can sit on. Kind of a circular rim at just about sitting height. Again, it's pitch dark. I'd just like you to see yourself taking a seat in that pitch darkness. You wrap yourself in your cloak and just find yourself gradually moving into a state of deep rest. Deep rest. You feel yourself being surrounded and embraced by the darkness. Kind of like a blanket just enfolding you. Completely enveloping you in its kind of velvety warmth. Yourself not thinking about anything, just drifting in the dark. forgetting about your physical body, forgetting about your life. Moving deeper into you, it's like moving into a, like your mind is expanding into a deep and dark starless night sky. I feel comfortable in that darkness, comfortable in that space. Deep into that darkness, I'd like you to become aware, gradually and very, very gently, you become aware of the very soft light, very faint light of stars. It's like you're drifting in space, and above you, around you, and beneath you, you feel the presence of stars, and their light is very faint, but you feel stars all around you, star, and you feel just the very softest, faintest star light. Allow yourself to relax into this beautiful deep darkness, just lit by the very, very faintest presence of starlight all around you. And just allow your soul to rest deeply in that space, to be renewed and regenerated. Within the darkness now, and within the very center of your being, of your spiritual being, I'd like you just to sense the reawakening of a light, just like a candle within your heart, in the very center of your being, a reawakening or re-emergence of the light within the darkness, within the depths of your being. Just like somebody's lit a candle within your mind, and you can feel its light emerging from the darkness. So it's not physical light, it's spiritual light that you feel within the depths of your being. Just relax and breathe with that reawakened light for a little while. So now you can feel yourself become a little bit more aware of your actual, your physical being sitting in the cave once more. And you open your eyes and you see that you can see a very soft light coming from the other side of the chamber, and you realize that this light is coming from a passageway that leads out of the hillside, out of the mound, onto the other side. So there's just a very, very soft light that you can see, just enough light to see the passageway, and the light source is coming from the other end of that of the passageway. So it's time for us to arise now from our meditation within the center of the hill, and just gradually and carefully make your way to the passageway that leads to the other side of the hill, other side of the mound, and the passageway sloping gently up as you walk. And you emerge into a landscape where you can just see on the far horizon there is just the beginnings of the light of dawn, and that's the light that you saw. So the sun is still beneath the horizon, but its light is creeping across the horizon, lighting up the sky just a little bit. And on the other side, in the landscape, you see the goddess once more, but this time she is in the aspect of a beautiful woman. Beautiful young woman, and she carries within her arms a newborn baby. So she smiles to you, smile back. You look down at your hands and you realize that you are young. You are young and beautiful and vital and radiant. Your physical body has been reborn anew. And again, you see there's a pool nearby the entrance of the mound. The goddess invites you to go over and look. Look at yourself. And you go over and look into the waters and you see a youthful body, youthful self, a radiant new life you feel starting to emerge within you. You feel like you've been reborn. So the goddess comes over to you now and offers you the baby to hold for a while. So this baby is a symbol of the new life that is waiting to be reborn within you as we move into the new year, new creativity, new opportunities. Just allow yourself to really enjoy holding the baby, looking into its eyes and feeling the new life arising within you, within your heart. It's still cold outside, it's still the winter, but it's the dawn. It's the beginning of a new cycle. So it may be that as you're holding the babe, observing the dawn, feeling the presence of the youthful goddess, there may be some kind of area of your life or project or something might pop into your mind as being something that you really want to give birth to in the coming months. So if it just stays as a sense of new life, then that's fine. You can stay, let it stay that way. But if there is something that might, you know, pop into your head at this time or arise from your heart, just allow it to be there. Note what it is. Note how it feels, how it wishes to signal to you. So you can pass the babe back to the goddess now, and you can you realize it's time to return to the physical world, to our daily reality. But the landscape and the places we've been to in this meditation are places that you can return to at any time in your own meditation time. So you gradually feel the landscape, the inner world landscape around you fading. You feel your awareness of your physical body and your physical surroundings reasserting themselves. And what I'd like us to do is just to, as you breathe in, just feel yourself breathing the energies of the meditation into your physical body, into your cellular structure. So you're kind of physicalizing the spiritual energies, the mental energies of the meditation into your physical being, bringing them into physical, bringing the energy into physical manifestation. When you feel ready, without being in a hurry, you can open your eyes and bring the meditation to a close. Okay, so I hope there's been, you know, one or two experiences for you in that meditation that you know you can go on and kind of reflect on in your own time, and gain some kind of sense of meaning from. I just want to say one or two things before we conclude. Firstly, one of the things that I enjoy about being in these kind of meditations or kind of following these kind of seasonal cycles is a sense of not being stuck at one particular age. Okay, so we have this cycle of life where we go through childhood, youth, middle age, old age. Okay, physically we're at one of these, right? But then psychologically, each one of these stages has gifts to offer us. So you may have, you know, in the early part of the visualization we were meditating ourselves as being an old person with an old physical body. But if you can overcome the initial aversion to being old, you actually start to realize that there are things, senses, ways of being that you have as an old person in an old body that are actually quite nice, quite good. You're more physically frail. You've been through a certain, you know, many different chapters in your life, so you're not holding on to your physical life as tightly as you used to be. You're not trying to prove yourself all the time. You know, your physical frailty can make you more aware of the spiritual energy, the spiritual light that you carry within you. So there's actually many kind of gifts you know, in terms of perspective that being an old person can give you, if you can overcome the kind of societal programming that says, oh my God, I don't want to, you know, being old is not as good as being young, you know. So each one of these stages of life, there are, you know, you can actually play with them psychologically. There is a childlike state of mind, isn't there, which is just being in a state of play, of relaxation, of creativity. Okay, so you can be a child, you can be in a middle-aged body, and you can just enjoy play, creativity, being carefree. You know, setting certain time aside for that. You know. When we're youthful, we're very interested in proving ourselves, achieving goals, kind of being attractive to the opposite sex and various other types of things. But just because you're not youthful anymore, it doesn't mean that you can't enjoy those kind of youthful aspects of your being, you know, setting goals, feeling the kind of energy that you felt in your youth, and just using it to keep your kind of enthusiasm for life. So you can keep you know, working with those kind of youthful aspects of your being, even when you move into middle age and old age. So similarly, you know, there's a kind of, when, if you're youthful, if you can actually start getting into a middle-aged mindset, that is to say a sensible, more sensible kind of planning, responsible mindset, then that can be very useful as a youth, can't it? So even though you may be youthful, you have a little bit of the kind of wisdom of middle age and old age, that can actually really help you make most use of your time as a youth. Okay. So similarly, if you could, you know, when I travel back to the UK, one of the people I visit without fail are people who are really quite old. Partly it's because, you know, I have a strong connection with them and they were important to me when I was a youngster in my upbringing and all that. But also, I really, really enjoy the perspective of old people. You know, they have a different generation. So that for their kind of mindset is a whole different space from mine. So it takes me out of my mindset and helps me see that life can be a different way. It's not to say I agree with everything they say, or that, you know, but it just gives a new perspective. They're coming from another angle, and it helps me to kind of consider my life from the point of view of an old person. You know, things that seem totally important or devastatingly bad or whatever that I'm going through right now. Well, from the point of view of when I'm an old guy, well, it was a stage I went through. You know, it's not the end of the world. You know. So you can, one of the things that I enjoy about working with the seasons is you can just, each time as you cycle through the seasons, you can just consciously get in touch with that stage of life. So when you're going through spring, you can just cultivate a sense of joy, a sense of playfulness, a sense of, of the child within. When you're going through towards summer, you can just, use that time to get back in touch with your enthusiasm, work towards your goals, you know. Think about kind of reviving your relationship or whatever, you know, all sorts of things you can do with that time. Just getting back in touch with the youthful self. Move towards autumn, there's kind of a natural, slightly more reflective time. You can, you know, cultivate, that kind of responsible middle-aged mindset. And then as you move towards winter, you can start seeing your life as you start to reappraise the year. You can start, you know, getting familiar with the actual mindset of an old person, seeing life from the far end. When you're about to pass through the gates of death, go into the next cycle. And so if you get used to doing this, then you can just, at any given time in your life, you've got these four perspectives that you can approach any issue that you've got in your life. You have these four perspectives of the child, the youth, the responsible middle-aged type, and the old one, and hopefully the wise one. Hopefully that the old one is the wise one, right? And I don't know whether that's the case with a lot of people, but hopefully by the time you get old, you're also maximum wisdom is going on. hopefully. This is why we meditate, right? so there's a sense of playfulness. You're not locked in one stage of life. You can, you know, your physical body's at one stage, but you can continue to play with a whole range of life and enjoy it, you know. So I hope when I'm old, I will have a very healthy inner child that will be joyful, have a lot of fun, and so forth. There's no reason why I shouldn't be. This should be the case, right? So that's one of the general things I enjoy about this kind of being aware of this general cycle. The other thing I say is just enjoy this point of rest before the new cycle begins. Try and make sure over this time. Sometimes Christmas can be actually quite busy, but trying to make time just to sit around and do nothing too much, and just allow the new life that is starting to gestate within you, just give it the space to nurture, just to be with it, sense that it's starting to arise, it's starting to emerge from the darkness of the old cycle, and just relax and get yourself ready for it. Don't be in a hurry to immediately start going. Just have some downtime, relax, rest, regenerate, so that when the new life starts to emerge, you're ready and you're enthusiastic for it. Okay, so that is kind of it. I'd like to wish you a very merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and winter solstice period. And I will be in touch with a new series of classes in January. So thank you very much.
Thank you.